One of the things that I typically do between the two of us, I typically am the one to bathe our children. I typically do it at the same time just because it's easy, and at that age it doesn't matter yet. And one of the things that I do when I bathe them is I will make them stand up. I'll put a rag with some soap on them and clean them, and then later rinse them off. But I got to get them to stand. And it's easy to make Caroline stand at this point because she'll listen to commands, but Seth, not as much. So one day, last night rather, what I decided to do, and sometimes I do this as well, is I'll sing a little song in order to, and kind of change, it's a familiar tune, but I'll change the words up just a little bit, and I don't know, maybe you do that too. Anyway, one of the ones that I did last night was to the tune of Stand Up for Jesus. Except I said, since it's really not for Jesus, I said, stand up for Daddy. And I don't know if it worked for him, but it worked for me. So he got up and I bathed him. Well, a little while later, it was time to bathe Caroline. And she stood up and was singing, stand up for Daddy. She was singing that. It was just the cutest little thing. And I was like, man, she... That, and I turned around to my wife, who was like right behind me. And I was like, did she just... How did... What? It's like, and she said, yeah, she'll remember any song. Is singing powerful? Mm-hmm. Yes, singing is powerful. Colossians 3:16, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles there. You know, we often go to Ephesians 5:19 when we talk about singing and worship, but Colossians 3:16 is another one of those that is kind of a parallel passage to Ephesians 5:19, but it tells us the purpose for singing. Let's take a look at it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Well, he starts off by saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, whenever we're first reading through this, we don't realize he's talking about doing so in song, but we recognize that in retrospect. When he's talking about let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, we have to make sure that we are singing the words of Christ. You know, as cute as it was for my daughter to sing stand up for Daddy, that's not what I wanted to sing in church. I wanted to sing stand up for Jesus, if that's the song we're singing at that time. We got to make sure that we are singing the words of Christ. We must, these words must be of sound doctrine. You know, most of our songs are written by denominational songwriters. And sometimes they say the right thing and sometimes they don't. And very often we have to make sure that what they're saying is right in these songs. Most of the time, especially if the editors of our songbooks are members of the Lord's Church, then usually they'll either change things up a little bit or make sure that things are upright, but they don't always, and we have to make sure we're on guard for that. We do have to also recognize that much of the songs that we sing, we have figurative speech that's in them, and that's okay. If something is meant figuratively and we understand that to be figurative, then that's fine. But very often, some people do not. The second part of that verse, or the next part of that verse, says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We are to teach and admonish. Teaching, we're familiar with that concept, and admonish, warning gently, gently nudging people in the right direction, getting them where they need to be. If we are to teach in song, then the words must be as true as the words that we speak whenever we're preaching and teaching. They have to be held to the same high standard of truth. And the reason is because songs tend to stick in your head, especially those annoying little commercial jingles. They really get stuck in your head. And for me, Christmas songs really get stuck in my head. Well, one of the deals, I guess, that my wife and I have is that we don't play Christmas music in the house or around me at all, until after Thanksgiving, because it gets stuck in my head, and I don't want Christmas songs stuck in my head and Halloween or in the middle of November. But they do get stuck in your head, and that's a good thing. Whenever we are singing these songs in worship, it should be a good thing that they get stuck in our heads sometimes, because, boy, that's a beautiful thing to be able to, and whenever you're in a moment of trouble and a moment of trial and you just start singing a song. I had this song, one of the songs we sang, "A Wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior is He. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock." Man, that's a beautiful song. And to have that stuck in your head when things are looking down, when things are going wrong, you recognize that He is a wonderful Savior. The last part of that verse says we are to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. You see, it says we are to sing to the Lord, but we recognize earlier we are to teach and admonish one another. So there's that. And every time I do a lesson with somebody about this, there is a horizontal aspect to worship. We are teaching and admonishing one another, but we're singing to God. We're singing to the Lord. There's that horizontal aspect, but also that vertical aspect to worship, where we are, the Lord is our audience, especially in the church, because the singing is meant to be congregational, not meant to have a choir or anything of that nature. We are meant to all sing and to use our voices. The only choir that we need to have is the congregational choir. Every one of you, whether you can hold a tune in a bucket or not, are part of that choir. Because our Lord is that audience. And we need to make music. We need to make music that is pleasing to Him. Singing words that are pleasing to Him, the music that He enjoys, the music that He wants, and that's the music of our hearts, singing with grace in our hearts, singing and making melody, Ephesians 5:19, in our hearts to the Lord. I love singing. One of the downsides of being a preacher is I don't get to lead songs as much as I did before I became a preacher, but I still get to do it occasionally, and I enjoy being able to. This evening, let us make sure that whenever we are singing, we're singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Let us recognize that when we sing, we are teaching and admonishing one another. One of the things that one of our recent converts said whenever we studied that particular thing is that, yeah, I learn a lot from the songs that we sing. And that's a great thing, too. We have in our songs a lesson from God's Word. In each of the, so, in essence, we have 6 lessons from God's Word every worship service. And that's a wonderful thing, too. If you need to obey God, let us recognize that the way He wants us to worship is here in the Scriptures. And let us make sure that our hearts are always geared toward Him whenever we worship. And let us make sure that we've obeyed that gospel
if we need to obey that gospel. Just as Sam was talking about earlier, putting the Lord on in baptism. There's that antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you need to do that, please do so this evening. And if you've already done that, but you need to make things right with Him, you need to repent, and you need to, if you need to make a public confession, that's fine. If you need to do that this evening, we stand ready to help. Please come forward as we stand and as we sing.